this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is what? Day. Because he did not want to miss what? An opportunity. Now, how many of us saw this thing on the ground and say, I'm going to pick it up tomorrow? Or because the day is Thursday, I don't clean up till Saturday. You know, I used to be in a situation where I needed clean underwear, and then the person told me they didn't wash clothes until Saturday. I said, well, it's Tuesday, and you didn't wash it the last Saturday. Take my stuff out of the hamper, I'll wash it myself. That's when you knew it was the beginning of the end. And so here we find, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus reaffirmed that I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Sometimes you can't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Because what? You might not wake up tomorrow. Tomorrow, you may be in a coma. Tomorrow, you may be in a different predicament than you're in today. And so if your mind is on it, and the anointing of God is pushing and nudging you to do something, then you ought to do it while the anointing is on that thing. So Jesus looked at this man, recognizing that when night comes, no man could work. And he says, as long as I am in the world, remember he had just proclaimed that he is the light of the world. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am indeed the light of the world. So God had already set Jesus up to work what? A miracle. Hallelujah. And so it was when Jesus, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground. Now remember in the situation with the woman who was caught in adultery, he wrote in the sand. Stooped on the ground and wrote on the sand. Wrote in the sand. But in this case, see, this is what I love about Jesus. He didn't heal everybody the same way. He didn't perform every miracle the same way. I dare you to touch your neighbor and say, any way he fixes it, I'll be satisfied. Look, he can spit. He can twirl me around. Any way he fixes it, I'm just going to have to be satisfied. And so Jesus spat on the ground. He made a little mud patty, and then he called the man forth, and he said, come here. The Bible said he smeared the mud on the eyes of the man. Now, some people may have said, well, my goodness, that's a little bit too extreme. You know, in today's time, we don't want to commingle nobody's bodily fluids. You see what I'm saying? And so Jesus knew exactly what he was doing because the man had nothing behind his eyelids. He had to literally recreate eyeballs, retina. He had to recreate pupils. And in that healing, he then not only restored the man his sight, he literally gave him the operative parts that he was not even born with. Now, the thing I love about this story, everybody, this man was a grown man. See, he wasn't 2 months old. He was not a newborn baby. This man had lived in this city, in this town, like this all his life. Yeah, they knew him. They knew exactly who he was. They knew he was born blind. In fact, you remember people say, well, blind Bartimaeus? How they know he was blind? But see, they already gave him a name. How many of us have given people nicknames? Shorty. Well, because he's not tall. Why you call him Shorty? Because he's short. Go ahead, Miss Pinkney. You see, nobody was talking to her. Yeah, so we give people these nicknames. And so it was that individuals who were of this town knew him. But how many of us recognize that when folk don't really, when they are your haters and they don't truly appreciate your blessing, they don't know you like that no more, right? Because if they knew you, they wouldn't talk about you. If they knew you, they wouldn't discredit the healing that you had just now received. So when Jesus restored the sight of the man, the Pharisees and Sadducees got together and they said, well, wait a minute. Is this the same man? Because see, they didn't want to give Jesus the what? Credit. They didn't want to give God the glory. But look here, God will use us, our brokenness, our low points, our humanity. God will use us because how else is he going to get the glory? If he can change you, he certainly can change me. Glory be to God. And so they began to ask themselves the question, is this he? Is this the one who was born blind? In fact, they asked, where is he? Look at verse number 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Formerly, he'd already received the sight. He was already what? Healed. And isn't that just like people that when the Lord bless you, they want to take it right back from you? I said it in prayer service, who God blesses, no man can curse. If the Lord bless you, nobody can take it away. Hallelujah. They can talk about you, they can hate you, they can despise and reject, but they cannot take it away. Amen. And look here, I would hold my, see, sometimes when the Lord bless us, some of us, we feel some kind of way about it. Look here, you ought to feel glad. You ought to feel happy, because when you were going through, look here, they weren't giving you nothing then. And so when God blesses, you should not minimize your blessings in order so that people would not feel a particular way about that. And so they brought the man who was formerly blind to the Pharisees, and it was the Sabbath when Jesus healed this man, when he made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again, who had received his sight, and he said to them, he did put what? Clay on my eyes. And they were trying to jam him up because they said it was the Sabbath and he should not have been healing. And they said, now you verify, did he not put the clay on your eyes? And the man said, yes, he did. Yes. Amen. Amen. When he healed your body, didn't you say he healed your body? Sure. When he healed your body, didn't you say he healed your body? When he caused you to be able to see, didn't you say he healed your body? And so we can attest with affirmation that when God did it, then we can be witnesses of that. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he did this on what? The Sabbath. These people are absolute hypocrites. How many of you have ever known somebody who needed help? And you say, well, I can't go help them because it's Sunday. Or I can't help them because I have to go to Bible study. Well, I think the Lord will understand if you miss Bible study, if you go on a mission. Amen. To help somebody. I think the Lord will understand if you miss prayer service in order to go on a mission to help somebody who is really truly in need. I think the Lord will understand if you go on a mission, and even if you had to miss church, because the church should be out there in the world making the world a better place. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a great division among them because they believed in Jesus. They saw the works that he did, and they were completely divided as a result. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And the blind man said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they had called the parents of the man who received his sight. Look at, they already knew that this was the man because they had seen him blind all his life. They said, well, this can't be the same man. Go get his mama and his daddy. When they went to get the mama and daddy were so afraid of the Jews because they knew that they were going to do what? Stone them potentially. That the mom and daddy said, look here, he is a grown man. Let him speak for himself. That says to us that when children become a certain age, they take on their own sin and their own responsibility. At some point, as my grandmother said, every top got to sit on his own bottom. At some point, you have to give an account for what? Yourself. And so they called for the parents so that the parents could somehow be jammed up and verify or nullify the healing that Jesus had just now performed. And the man had already told them, yes, he did do it. And the parent said, he is of age in verse number 23. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. And he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. See, the man who was born blind said, I'm not going to get mixed up in your mess. See, you all are trying. The man who has just given me the sight, I don't know because he didn't know Jesus like that. But all he did know is for all of his life, he was never able to see. And out of nowhere, he didn't even call on Jesus, but Jesus called on him and healed his body. I was blind, but now I see. And they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he said, I've already told you already, and you did not do what? You didn't listen. See, sometimes when the Lord bless you, see, folk don't want to hear that. See, they want to hear that the boss gave you. They want to hear that somebody, but see, when you tell them, it wasn't the boss, it was the, I'm about to do a shout right now. It was the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord on my, I don't know how I would have made it. God made a way. God opened the door. God sent in the nick of time exactly what I needed. So he said, I don't know, because I'm not even that religious, but I do know that I was blind and now I see. He answered them, I told you already and you do not listen. Do you also want to become his disciple? He said, well, y'all asking all these questions. Now remember, Nicodemus went to him by night. See, Nicodemus was so, he felt that thing so fervently that he was too ashamed to do it in front of everybody else that he went to Jesus at night and he said, what must I do? He said, you got to be born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit. Then they reviled him, verse number 28. You are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses as this fellow. We do not know where he comes from. The man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he opened my eyes. See, y'all are concentrating on the wrong stuff. Hallelujah. And see, sometimes that's how we miss what? Our blessings. Because we concentrate on the wrong thing. It matters not if you lump yourself up in a certain category, but we have to put ourselves on the Lord's side. Because if we are on the Lord's side and God is blessing, then we ought to go with God. Amen. I don't care who it is. If that person is following God, we can follow them. He said, you've got to be his disciple. The man was not even a religious person. But he said, based on what he did for me, I owe him. Based on what I received from him, I love him. Based on how he changed my life, I shall never be the same. And I am now a witness for him. See, when God, through Jesus Christ, touches our lives, you got a story that nobody can take away from you. When God has touched you through the power of Christ, and individuals try to make you doubt him, you can't make me doubt him, because I know too much. That's why when you see me praising the Lord, you don't understand my praise. See, individuals try to interpret, well, oh, he must be going through a lot. He must have a lot of problems. But I'm telling you, when we begin to praise God, God blesses us. When we begin to praise God, he just continues to pour into our lives and enlarges our territory, and he continues to expand those things that are good in our lives. And so the man became a witness. Verse number 31, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God hears him. Now this is an age-old debate. Remember, Shug Avery said the same thing. You know, asking if God hears a what? Sinner's prayer. How y'all feel about that? I think so. Because if God didn't hear a sinner prayer, then how would you be a sinner saved by grace? Amen. Amen. Because he heard your prayer. And if he heard your prayer, he will hear the prayers of individuals who are lost in their sin. All they got to do is say, Lord, help. And his ear is attuned and attentive to their needs. Amen. And so God does hear a sinner's prayer. And so since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was what? Born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Jesus has supernatural powers. See, individuals can begin to use magic and hocus pocus to cause individuals to believe certain things that are, you know, kind of optical illusions or magic tricks, but this was not a trick. They knew this guy. They knew that he was born, what, blind. He didn't even have eyeballs. In his socket, it was hollowed out. There was nothing behind. But Jesus, whatever he did when he stooped down and made the mud patty and rubbed it on his eyes, was able to produce or recreate the very thing that the man never had. He can give it to us. Whatever we need, and give you a baby, if that's what you want. He can give you a husband. I wasn't even talking to her. I was not even talking to her. I just got to turn in this direction. I don't see. I'm telling you, I was not even talking to her. I wasn't even talking to her. Oh, my goodness. So she cannot be a deaconess. Her mind is on too many other things. Oh, no. Oh, my God. We're going to take her out of the category. She cannot even be considered. Oh, we were going to, she will not be considered, Sister Sim. No, she will not be considered. You are out of the running for a deaconess. Amen. And so they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin and are teaching us. And they cast him, what, out. Then they concluded that the man was, although Jesus healed him, they concluded that the man was completely born in sin. They couldn't control him. They couldn't manipulate him. They couldn't make him say what they wanted to hear. So then they determined that he was completely born in sin. They had already dragged his mama and daddy out there.
Yeah.
So how could he be completely born in sin? He had a mama and a daddy and they were married. How could he be completely born in sin? See, these people are so hypocritical and they are so manipulative that they will begin to use anything for their own advantage. Because he would not verify their claim, they cast him out. Have you ever been tossed out of something?
Yes, sir.
Because you wouldn't go along with the group?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been, you know, pushed aside because you wouldn't dance to the music of somebody else? Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? See, I love Jesus because when they put him out, see, this was the man, these people knew this man. This is just like, Sister Brown, you've been in this church what, just about all your life. This is just like them casting you out. Wouldn't that be a shame? When Jesus heard it, all he did was hear it, that they had cast the man out, that he had healed of his blindness. Jesus went to him and said, do you believe in the Son of God? And the man answered, who is he, Lord, that I might believe what? In him. See, all of this time that this man was being called on the carpet, he was not even a disciple of the Lord. That's what makes it even the more believable.
That's right.
See, when the Lord can turn somebody around, you see, it's easy to, you know, for a church person like myself, to say, well, oh, well, you know, he didn't have to do much with him because he was already in the church, right? But I'm talking about somebody who the Lord turns around. I mean, they're so far out in the world that they'd never had the church on their mind. And when the Lord turns them around, you can be like, my God, if the Lord can do that with them, then God is truly awesome. Amen. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And the man immediately said, Lord, I believe. And he began to do what? Worship him. See, we need to get back to a place where we worship God. They who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't care what kind of way you worship him, but we ought to worship God in a way that begins to demonstratively honor the things that he does. Every now and then we ought to say, thank you, Jesus. We ought to wave our hands. We can cry and shout, and we can, something we ought to do in order to show God through our worship that we appreciate the things he does for us. This man was healed. This man was saved. And this man praised the name of God through his son based on what he did for him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. You got to be careful who you allow to see for you. Amen. Because many of us, it's the blind leading the blind. Sometimes we have so much, you know, admiration for people. No, we have so much admiration for certain people, and those people are as ungodly as the day is long. They could be, bless you, they could be sitting in the pulpit. Look, you got to watch their works. They could be on the head of the board. You have to watch them. They could be on the choir. They could be on the wherever. You have to watch them, because if they are evil, you know, they can only pretend but for so long. Amen. I watch sometimes the ushers. They don't do it so much in this church. I'm not talking about the ushers. They don't do it so much in this church. But I've been in some churches. I've been in some churches that, the ushers are tough. You know, they go, you know, you come into church and you know, they're supposed to nicely greet. Good morning. Welcome to my, we are so happy to have you here today. I mean, the ushers are supposed to be extra nice, right? And you know, they got the mean ushers standing up at the door. They got the bulletins pressed up to their bosom. And then when you ask them, well, may I have a bulletin? They got to look to see if they got a certain, then they peel it off and give it to you, but they don't want the person behind you to see that you're getting one. I mean, it's like for everybody. And so there's no special thing. And so we have to come to a place where we recognize that when we are serving God, we must serve him, what? In spirit and in truth. Glory, hallelujah. Some of us are following the wrong people. I don't care if they're popular. I don't care if they were elected because, you know, they stole the election and Putin and all those people, you know, manipulated the whole electoral process in order that they can get in whatever office they want to. Look here, at some point you have to make a decision. Yes. And if it's not right, it's wrong. Hallelujah. From the White House all the way down to your house. Glory be to God. Yes. Because we all will be held, what, to an account. And so at some point, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Amen. Then some of the Pharisees in verse number 40 who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we, look at these people, they don't get enough. Are we blind also? Look at what Jesus said to them. Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sins remain. Amen. Amen. So by their own admission, they are sinners. Amen. Sometimes we can have too much sense for our own good. He said he will take the simple things to set us free. And the ones who got so much sense and who are so smart, they will never understand the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I once was blind, but now I see.
So simple.
Hallelujah. That's it. That's chapter 9. Next week we'll be in chapter 10. Praise God. Any testimonies, praise reports? So, Sister Rouse, good evening. Good to see you. Tentatively, the funeral is going to be Wednesday. That's what tentatively we're looking at. So we need to get all of our mechanisms in place, you know, as much as we can. Choir, you know, the last funeral we had, beautiful funeral, but sometimes we pick and choose, you know, what we're going to participate in. It seemed like, you know, in other places they would have like a thrown together choir for the funeral or something like that. Reverend Brown was a pastor for years, and I'm certain that not only a pastor, he was a teacher, a coach, etc. So I'm sure that colleagues on all of those different levels are coming. And so we don't want to, you know, and so don't be stingy with your singing gift. Amen. And so let's rally the choir together along with the organist. Amen. So that we all are in place to make certain that we are here to send him home in a very dignified way, as only Mount Zion can. Amen. Amen. And so please, my brothers and sisters, let us keep in mind, it's supposed to be Wednesday, but as we get more information, we'll push that out. But for parking purposes, still don't know a time yet, but just, you know, tentatively, and we can let them know more information as we get it, and potentially it'll be tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all did a beautiful job in the last repast. We need to do that again. So let's order the food, and then, yeah, so we can do that again tentatively for Wednesday so that we might be able to get on ahead of the schedule of the caterer. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
I almost want to sing one verse of How You Feel, Everybody. Amen. So y'all feeling all right?
Amen.
All right. Been to the river, been baptized, my soul's converted, and I feel all right. Amen. We're ready to go home.
Our Father and our God, we come to thee this evening knowing that thou art God, that thou art able to do all things. Father, we have heard your word. We have seen your works. Father, we give you thanks and the praise for the beauty of your word that you've given us this evening. Bless us, and bless our families. Bless the Mount Zion Church family. Father, bind us together in love, peace, and harmony, that we may move forward in your name. Father, we pray this evening for the Brown family. Father, comfort them. And Father, do that only you can do. Give them peace, comfort, and have them to know that thy will be done. Not our will, but thy will be done. Father, bless us, and bless us as we leave here this evening. Let us carry this word with us that we have been given this evening. Father, bless us as we journey to our homes. Grant us traveling mercy, Father, and bless us. We just give you the thanks and the praise for your grace and your mercy. Father, we just give you thanks and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.